And I do have one other announcement. We have Reverend Sharon with us today.
Okay, it's good to be here. I needed to switch weeks or months, I guess, with Renetta, and so I won't be here the first Sunday in June, but I'm here today instead, so you'll be seeing me for several months in a row. It's okay. Anyway, how many were here last Sunday, or last time I was here? Okay, you might remember I talked about that merry-go-round. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the merry-go-round that we, as kids, used to run around and play on? It was scary as heck, you know, just because it was for me anyway. It was thrilling once you got on riding it, but that if it was going too fast, it was scary. We talked about a process about, you know, how we can, with all that's going on, the things that are, they're going fast again. And I wrote on here we are again, or still, whatever, however you want to look at that. Things are still changing and happening at a frantic pace, I'll say that. Going by my own reaction, some of the changes surprised me. Some of them shocked me. Some of them was like, that can't, okay, I guess it is. It's been really interesting. I heard a moderator on NPR as I was driving, and she said she usually addresses the happenings of the week. She said there were so many that she just had to kind of focus on the ones that were impactful, you know, the most impactful. So if you've been feeling like things are really going fast, they are. Our country is, there are all kinds of changes happening. It's not just us, the whole world seems to be involved in changes. I don't think this was happening last time, but Germany had an election that was going to change, looks like it's going to change the way they do business as a country. Lots and lots and lots of changes that are going on. Once again, I find myself with feelings of frustration, anxiety, fear, sometimes anger. Anybody else? Really? No. Okay. I'm the only one.
It took a little while to have the reaction to go.
Yes, there's still lots going on. So what we said last month when I was here, what I said, was that our first, it's a three-step process, and the first one is to be aware that you're in your emotions. We're in our emotions. That's not a bad thing. I think that when things happen, it's normal, human, to have reactions, feelings about that. But we may not want to stay there. The coaching program that I went through some years back, Maria Namath said that we have that primitive brain, you know, something will hit us and we'll become frightened. Really frightened. She said that there are no more saber-toothed tigers, really, that are waiting around the corner to devour us. But the things that we do get triggered and are fearful about have that same reaction. And so when we are in that deep fear, when we're a lot of emotions that are strong, we're not in our frontal cortex. We aren't able to think as logically as we might otherwise. Realize you're in your emotions. Come back to that peaceful place. You know, do whatever we need to do to get back to the peaceful place. I mentioned scripture does that for me. There are some verses that when I hear them, oh yeah, and some of what Karen was just talking about. This one presence, one power that, oh yeah, that's right. So that brings me back, and then from that place, now I can go ahead and check and see what is, do I want or need to do anything, or But I'm in that peaceful place. I'm aligned with my higher self. I'm not in that, oh my God place. So it's a process. It has helped me. As soon as I can decide, oh, I'm in my feelings again. I need to go get peaceful again. But I realized that seems like it's always reactionary. And wouldn't it be nice if there was a way we could be proactive, perhaps? Be in that awareness of the oneness. You know, you hear me say all the time when I'm speaking, God and I are one. God and I are one. And so when we can get back to that place, we can better decide what we need to do. Maybe nothing, you know, maybe call somebody, see what they're doing, just a myriad of things that we could do, but we need to be in that frontal cortex, not reacting from emotions. I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we didn't always have to be reactionary? What if we could be proactive? What if instead of having to come back to that peaceful place, we could do something that would keep us there longer, more regularly be in that place? And so that God and I are one is one of those things that makes me realize my oneness with God. Now the thing is, I'm one with God, but it's not just me. You know? You're one with God, and you're one with God, and you're one with God. Each and every living being is one with God. I'm a part of a group. It's a kind of a support group, kind of a visioning group. And it was interesting to see the daily word for today. We are holding space for positivity. There's so much negativity in the world. And so we come together and, you know, it's not about politics. It's not about, oh my God, you know, we're not doing that. We're just sort of realizing and reflecting where we are, what's up for us, maybe we need some prayer support around, that kind of thing. So this group has really helped me tremendously to come away from all of the chatter that's out there, all that's going on by doing that. One of the members of this group, I think, read something to us out of something about the body of Christ. Things just sort of slip out for a minute sometimes. The body of Christ. And as soon as I recognized that she was that phrase, I recognized as being one that Paul made in Philippians. Paul, as you might know, had a really significant experience with the Christ, Jesus, with the Christ. Jesus had already died when Paul had this experience. You familiar with this story?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know that he had been a zealot, a Jewish zealot, to stamp out these little groups of Christians that were springing up, because he felt like that was sacrilege, and he made it a quest to get rid of his, and he was good at it, you know, so the Christian groups were very much afraid of him. After this experience, he became just as enthusiastic about spreading the word, the good word, you know, spreading the news about Jesus. He never met Jesus except on an inner level. You know, Jesus talked to him, he was blind for a while. And I have read, and I believe myself, Paul is attributed to really the one who spread Christianity, because he was going around and starting new churches and writing to them and supporting them. So I remembered that he had written something about the body of Christ. So I went and looked for it. I looked in, this might be familiar. There are some of these, I think, probably in your library. Fillmore Study Bible, New Testament. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts off talking about spiritual gifts. We all know that we have different talents and skills. We have different spiritual gifts too. So Paul has listed out some of these. And then starting in verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ." So as I look out, I don't see Abena's smile, just her mouth. I see all of Abena. She's a person, a whole one. The body is one with many members. "In one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we were all given to drink into one spirit." Unity teaches that the Christ, we call it the Christ, that divine essence of every living being, makes us one. It makes us one. So then he says, I'm only going to point out a couple of them. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot would say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body.'" And then he goes on with other examples, the ear and the, you know, all of that. You can't get much more different than this hand and this elbow. And yet, everything is a part of the one body. We each are a part of a body. And I'm happy that every one of us in this room is part of my body. I'm part of yours. There are some people I would rather not be a part of their body and or have them a part of mine, but that's not the way it is. He goes on to say, after all these, if this is, "But God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired." "God composed the body together, giving more abundant honor to the inferior part, that there should be no division in the body." So I can't say that my eyebrow is any more or less important than my right foot. So this person that's part of my body, any person you can think of, has equal status with every other person, including myself, in a spiritual way. Yeah? Make sense? Okay. So then he says, there should be no division, but that the members should have the same care for one another. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now Jesus has preached this kind of thing. What you do to the lesser, you do to me. So, seems to be truth. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. God has set God has set some in the assembly, first apostles, second prophets, third teacher. He goes down and he lists all these spiritual gifts that people might have. He says, but earnestly do all these things happen. They earnestly desire the best gifts. Moreover, I show a most excellent way to you. So, and then he starts chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians with the gift of love. So he starts, gifts of prophecies and tongues. So this is important enough that it's in here. All these gifts, we all have, all of us have unique skills and knowledge, all that, but we also have different spiritual gifts. So what occurred to me was, I can't forget that everybody is part of me and I'm a part of everybody. I need to remember that. The polarization that is going on is extreme, and that's very challenging for me. I like everybody to get along. Rodney King, back in the LA riots, if you remember, he was the one who said, why can't everybody just get along? And that, amen, why can't we? I remember many occasions when people came together to take care of each other. I have now worked at two retirement communities, and one of the most sweet things that I see is how the residents take care of each other. It's a community of seniors, you know, so it's just wonderful. Think about 9/11. I'll bet you remember where you were when it was happening. I'll bet there's so much that was a distinct crisis. And it pulled the country together like nothing I have ever seen before. People didn't care what religion you were, what color your skin was, where you live, what your job was. Everybody was feeling, experiencing, and acting from one country. People had little flags that they put on their cars, do you remember?
Yes.
We were one as a country. And I felt proud to be part of it, that that was the response, that we were coming to the aid. Katrina, the Hurricane Katrina, people did the same thing. They pulled out all the stops to try and make sure the people who had been displaced by the hurricane had either temporary shelter or more permanent. You know, they had buses that were taking people to other parts of the country. On a local level, we live in an area that has lots of rivers, you know, so what happens when there are rivers? There are floods. And everybody remembers the flood of 93. Well, we've had some recently that have been pretty scary too. And people come together there too. They're usually when they're getting just, you know, the flood stage, remember on the news forecast and so forth, they'll say that, you know, we're almost there. And then you see plugs for, here are places you can go to help fill sandbags. And you can go put sandbags. We come together in such a beautiful way at times. I think that coming together is a worthwhile vision. I think that's what I want. And I'd really like to be a part of a movement that is doing that. So the vision that this group that I'm in is one of a we and us perspective as opposed to they and them. If we can begin to really try to change our thinking, we are all one. We are all one. And in this group, we are visioning peace and love and as the body of Christ, because as we come together, the energy of that peace and love is grows. Someone said, and I think it's really true, in these times, it is, for me anyway, more challenging to keep that perspective of God and I are one. I slip back sometimes, but we need extra effort in prayer and meditation. We need to be conscious and make a decision that this is important enough. My peace of mind is going to help me be a force for good if I am peaceful. So if I want that, then I need to be putting in time to get centered, to listen, what is mine to do. When I talk about what is mine to do, it will be different for each of you. You know, there are people. There was a time I was in a group in Jefferson City. I can't think of the word right now, but it's all faiths. You know, we all came together, and at one point we got involved in some project, and there were some who were wanting to go march. We were in Jeff City, so it wasn't a long march, but even so, there were a lot of hills there, and I don't do well with my breathing. I am not a, I'm not one who is wanting to anymore at this stage of my life participate in protests, physical protests where I'm carrying signs and marching and stuff. Not that I don't have the passion. My body is not supportive of that kind of action. So what can I do? You know, what can each of you do? If you want to do anything, what would it be? It's that, but you need to be in that aligned, peaceful place spiritually to hear, to know, you know, however it comes to you, whether it's a thought or a dream or a, however guidance comes to you, you'll know what is yours to do. Do that. And I think it's also important to note that oneness doesn't mean sameness. So then that if we start talking about sameness, then we get back into the them and us. But oneness, we can all get along. We can each tolerate, accept, honor, respect every single viewpoint. We each have unique gifts in the human self and then also in the spiritual self. There was a story, I heard it first in ministerial school. I may have said it here. I apologize if you've heard it before. But there was, I think it's called a monastery where monks live. And the monks started noticing that the group of them were getting grayer. You know, it was all older people. They weren't, there's not a bad thing, you know, but there were no younger people coming in, men to come in and be monks too. And they had talked about it, what are we gonna do? How are we gonna attract? And they tried all the things that, you know, marketing and advertising and whatever words that they did. And somehow, I don't think in the story I ever heard who it was that did it, but a rumor was started. People, the monks began to hear that there is a Christ among us. It's in one of the monasteries in this region. He is. It is. So, not knowing who this individual is, which monk it is, then what began to happen was every one of the monks started, maybe it's you, you know, and started treating every person that they every monk that they experienced like they were the Christ. And what happened was the energy, the whole atmosphere of the monastery changed. It was one of a loving, caring community. The men began to get closer to each other. No longer did they have to try to recruit young people to come in, but because of this glorious atmosphere and energy that was there, people began to come. Young men wanted to join. They wanted to be a part of that. I don't know who started the rumor, but it really worked beyond measure. What if we thought that any one of the people that we encounter is the Christ? Because in truth, they are. They are already. Sometimes you can't see it. So you may have to just hold the knowledge, the awareness that this is a Christ. This is the Christ in expression, however little it might be or however different it might be from the way I usually operate. If we could hold that and watch for the Christ, look for the Christ in each other, we could begin to treat each other with respect and dignity, regardless of beliefs or any of the things that we seem to separate ourselves by. And with a love that honors that Christ in ourselves and in every other being, because we are all truly one. Before we start our meditation, let's use the words that our way shower Jesus Christ taught us. The Lord's Prayer is up there.
There it is.
It is, okay, good. So together, let's close your eyes if you like, but let's affirm this. And I forgot the words. Do you ever have to go blank?
Yeah.
Go ahead and start, please.
Walk in the fire. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Okay, and I invite you to allow yourself, if you haven't already, just to relax into your seat. Gently close your outer eyes if that's comfortable for you, or you can watch a candle with softened eyes. We begin to bring our attention, our energy, away from the outer and back in us. The Fillmores used to talk about a heart space. Charles talked about the heart space as that place where the divine and the human meet. So I focus my energy, my attention on that heart space. This is a sacred, sacred space, quiet, safe, relaxed. In this space, there is nothing that has to be done this moment. We are safe among loving spiritual family members. We are open, our minds and our hearts. We are receptive to guidance, to anything that we may be needing in this moment. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe it's strength. Maybe it's guidance, wisdom, imagination, any of the powers that we have, that we are, any of those things, peace, love, life. When we are in this space, what we need in the moment comes to us. We are refreshed, we are re-energized, rejuvenated even, because we are at one with that Christ self, that divine source, spirit, whatever name is most comfortable for you, we are one with that, and through that, as that, with each other. A scripture from the New Testament comes to mind. When Jesus is in a boat with the disciples and a storm comes up and the storm is whipping the water around and Jesus is asleep, the disciples are getting really scared because of all that is going on around them. And they wake him up and he says something about of little faith, and just stands up and the sea becomes calm. And we have the power to do that when we go to this sacred space of the Christ within us. It doesn't stop necessarily all the spinning around us. It stops our grabbing onto that, our engagement with all of that that's going on. It holds us in that boat with the Christ, peaceful, calm, and loving. we take some time with this vision, this idea of the body of Christ being the best that we can be, and then taking that into prayer and meditation to hear and feel or experience, what is mine to do? It may be to just keep the car in good shape, keep the home clean, to talk to a loved one. You'll know when it is your thing to do because of this heart space. There's just a feeling of experience of rightness. And that is yours to do. So let's take just a little bit of time in silence to be open and receptive, to be in that space, sacred space of oneness, in the silence. And as we begin to come out of this silence, we recognize that we are present. Present to the presence. And in this presence, in this time that we have dedicated, we are coming away with gifts, presence, a different spelling. We are so very grateful to have this community, to be well, all of the many blessings that we enjoy. And in this very unique time, we give thanks that we have homes, that we have food, that we have our needs met. We are grateful for the loving relationships that we enjoy. We're grateful for freedom. So this week we can pledge to ourselves that we are one with Spirit, one with God, and that we are setting an intention and moving forward as best we can to keep that in the foremost of our mind. We're looking for the Christ in every person that we experience. We are blessed. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.
Wow, that was wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I am taking some creative license here from your message. I'm changing the song. Okay. The song, I Behold the Christ in You, feels like it's so perfect. Oh, that's how you ended your meditation, and that's what I got, is that the Christ is in every one of us. And actually, I sing this song a lot, and I start out by saying, I behold the Christ in me, because I think we need to know that the Christ is in us. And then we sing it to everybody. So anyway, I hope you don't mind. I changed it because
absolutely.
And then you even ended your meditation with beholding the Christ. Okay, here we go. It's number 64. I'm still looking for somebody. Sarah, Neil said you had a good singing voice.
Oh, that's not true.
He must think you do.
Okay. In the bar.
Okay. All right. Here we go. We're going to give it our best. I may move the microphone away from my mouth. Let's see.
Lord,
I behold the Christ in you. Here the life of God I see. I can see a great peace too. I can see you whole and free. I behold the Christ in you. I can see this as you walk. I can see this in all you do. I can see this as you talk. I behold God's love expressed. I can see you filled with power. I can see you ever blessed. See Christ in you hour by hour. I behold the Christ in you. I can see that perfect one. Led by God in all you do, I can see God's work is done. Okay, Linnaeus, the words are so important. And I know you were just looking at the song because you didn't know it. But to look at somebody and to say these words will lift you up and will bless them. So, anyway, okay. Thanks for bearing with us today when we may do without our regular music selections.